So, how hospitable have you been nowadays, dear radio friend? This is Reverend Matani, Eastern Home Missionary with the Protestant Reformed Churches, privileged to bring you this series of messages on the love for strangers, the love for the brethren, and the love for our children. We have considered the biblical calling we have as God's people to show that love to strangers. We have in the last couple of weeks started talking about that need to apply that same hospitality one to another in the house of God as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord willing, we will also focus on the love for children in the next several weeks. But now this day, as we continue with our series, I would like for us to look at a passage of Scripture that very concretely and rather detailedly shows to us this calling to exercise hospitality among the saints. And I do so by reading for you a passage out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, where we read, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." A young man recently told me, "Pastor, but how can I show hospitality? I have a one-bedroom apartment, I am single, I don't know how to cook, and how can I show hospitality to the saints?" And it struck me that perhaps the idea or the very word hospitality is often used with the connotation that you have somebody in your home. And that's true, you show hospitality indeed by having people to your home. But I believe the Word of God goes far beyond in its instruction regarding how we show hospitality one to another, even as this passage of Scripture tells us that we use the gifts God gives to us, whether that be as a good steward speaking the oracles of God, or whether it be according to the ability God gives, that each one of us has been endowed with different talents. We have different circumstances of life, and then each of us, as the ability God gives to us, can exercise that hospitality one to another. You'll recall, and I have said this a number of times, that the word hospitality literally means love for strangers. And yet that hospitality, as we see today, must begin in the house of God. Use hospitality, the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, verse 9, one to another, and that without grudging. Let us, for a few moments then, today, look at what that means when we are called to use hospitality one to another. You know, I think that even though the word hospitality means love for strangers, the Holy Spirit deliberately calls us to use and exercise that love of strangers one to another as fellow saints, and that for several reasons. First of all, not all in the body of Christ are known to us, are they? We may have those who are closer to us, some may be family, others may be friends, but they are always in the church, very much in the body of Christ, those who we may not know that well, perhaps new visitors, perhaps those who are not sitting in the same row in the church as we, and for years we've been going to the same church, and we must exercise that kind of love for strangers right within the body of Christ. Secondly, the Word of God clearly calls us to do good to all men, Galatians 6 verse 10, but especially we read there to those of the household of faith. And what a sad commentary if we learn to show hospitality and love to outside those who are outside the house of God and then fail to do so one with another. And the third reason, I believe, is because exactly the sad tendency is that we begin to emphasize missions and evangelism and welcome others from outside. And then, you know what? We begin to foolishly take each other for granted. And we begin to not focus on the importance of love one for another. How else will the world know that we are the disciples of Christ but by this love one for another? I think it's just a sad reality that we begin to take each other for granted. We begin to become blind to one another's needs. Oh, we see a newcomer and we say, how are you? And we show love and hospitality and we bring that person to our home and we try to answer questions and we try to be nice and give up our seat. And then pretty soon, here is this brother. We've come to know his personality, his weaknesses. We begin perhaps, maybe we have had a quarrel once upon a time with that person and we begin to say, let him take care of himself. And we begin to turn the other way and take one another for granted. That is not right. We must show hospitality one to another. The exercise of mutual hospitality requires fervent love. That's the context of this passage of Scripture. Before we are told to use hospitality one to another, we are exhorted right before that in verse 8 of 1 Peter 4, and above all things have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We must awake to the reality that in the body of Christ there are always going to be those sins and weaknesses that we see in one another and in ourselves. We must exercise much love, bearing with one another's burdens. Just as in a hospital, where patients come to be treated, so in the Church of Jesus Christ, via hospitality, we must treat each other with patience. We must recognize that we are all afflicted with our particular weaknesses and difficult circumstances of life. We must look at each other with that eye of love and concern and compassion so that that exercise of hospitality is indeed one to another. The text goes on to explain what this means when it tells us in verse 10, as every man have received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, the exercise of mutual hospitality requires the recognition that all in the body of Christ have gifts. As every man have received the gift, whatever that gift may be, it may not be some extraordinary gift, it may not be some supernatural gift of healing and of miracles as in the New Testament age, but every man have received gifts. All have gifts given by God. And yes, if you have never learned that before, let it be said today, every child of God has at least one or more gifts. At least one. At least one gift that God has endowed you with that you might exercise in the body of Christ. But also this, as we read in the last part of verse 10, given by the manifold grace of God. God, when He gives to us His grace, also distributes in the body of Christ those gifts according to His grace. In fact, this word of God in verse 10, when we read that we are to minister one to another, comes from the Greek word diakonos, from which, of course, we get the word deacon. We are all deacons. Did you realize that? If we have not learned that before, let us learn it today. That in that sense, we are all as priests in the house of God, and we are all called to serve the needs one of another. The word of God today calls us to exercise that hospitality one to another. This must be emphasized. The call is to mutual hospitality. This means we must humbly recognize that God places others in the body of Christ so that through me others may also be richly blessed. But it also means this, and I think sometimes we forget that, that God places others in the body of Christ for my good. Not only must I be willing to show hospitality, I must humble myself to be willing to receive hospitality. Perhaps I lack in certain gifts, and there are others who can minister to my needs. This is the communion of saints. As Lord's Day 21 of the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the creeds of our church, so clearly teaches, that this is what the communion of saints is all about, that each and every believer in the body of Christ, even as he is a partaker of Christ, now ministers to the needs of that body. Now, let's look at some concrete examples, even as this text shows us in verse 11. Tells us, one example of showing hospitality is by speaking. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You understand that this text has nothing to do with what is known in the scriptures as the official preaching of the word of God. The text is not addressed to ministers. This text is not a reference to the declaration of the word of God by the ordained minister. This text refers to that call to exercise mutual hospitality one to another, so that if a man speaks, he must speak as the oracles of God. This is a call given to God's people who show hospitality by ministering the word of God one to another. Now, not all have the gift of the gab. We must use the gift that God gives to us by speaking wisely and carefully the oracles or the wisdom of God. My wife is a rather simple and quiet person by nature. I, on the other hand, am told often that I need to learn perhaps to speak less. Well then, let him who is naturally endowed with the gift of the gab learn to speak the oracles of God with love, to temper his speech with patience and with some willingness to listen. Let others who by nature perhaps are quiet learn by the grace of God to be a little bit more bold and to speak the oracles of God. For this is one example of how we can exercise hospitality one to another. But then, the second part of verse 11 tells us, if any man minister, that is, if any man serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You see, as 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 point out, there are those who have the gift of serving, of using their hands, of being active as Martha of old was, serving. They are called upon to do so according to the ability that God hath given, not more, not less. And so, the word of God tells us everywhere that we are to love not only in word, but also in deed. And so we exercise that mutual hospitality, both by our communication, that is, by our speech, by our speaking the truth in love, as well as by our acts of compassion and kindness one to another. Isn't that true even in a hospital? Some are doctors, some are nurses, others are counselors. All do their part. All learn to recognize the gifts that are given and the talents and the qualifications that all have. All try to respect one another's positions and then together mutually exercise that help to those who are in need. Now, today as we look at this very practical text of God's Word, I would like you to also remember with me that it is not only what we do, but how we perform that act of hospitality. We are to practice hospitality according to the word of God, negatively, first of all, without grudging. To do something grudgingly means to do so unwillingly, to do so and then grumbling in the process. Peter writes to the saints in 1 Peter 4 verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Instead of serving cheerfully, doing what one does with a smile, one might perhaps exercise hospitality while complaining. That is so easy to do, especially when we are compelled to do something perhaps by the constraint of others, or perhaps simply because no one else is doing it and we feel like there is an urgent need. Remember Martha? Remember how she became so busy serving the Lord while Mary was sitting down at the feet of Christ? And Martha began to complain. And she began, in fact, to complain so that she came to the Lord and she says, "Lord, why dost thou not tell Mary to get up and help me?" She became bitter not only against Mary, but against the Lord himself. And the Lord had to reprimand her that Mary had chosen the good part which will not be taken away from her. And Martha, we read, became cumbered about with much serving. It's possible, you know, to become very busy with this exercise of hospitality and to do so complainingly and to do so grudgingly. And I think we, men of the house, and I know for myself as a minister, we must be careful that we don't put too much on the shoulders of our wives and expect them to do everything cheerfully and not recognize that this glorious work of hospitality can also be done with a wrong spirit when one is just so overburdened that one complains while doing so. Again, verses 7 and 8, to which our text is subordinate, helps us deal with this unwilling attitude. We read verse 8 earlier about charity. Notice verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." I submit to you that also hospitality has to be exercised with sobriety and with prayerfulness, so that we walk in love which is fervent, and that love, instead of stirring up strife, according to Proverbs 10 verse 12, will hide sins. It will cover a multitude of sins. It will not go around discovering the sins of others, but it would hide a multitude of sins. It will be willing to cover sins and bear the burdens of others. Love, of course, is patient. Huh? It knows, after all, that in the hospital of grace, where God's people need hospitality, there must be much grace and patience exercised. So let us put away our grudging spirit and do so, this exercise of hospitality, cheerfully. Positively, verse 10 tells us that we exercise this hospitality as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's one sure way to cure the sin of grumbling. If we are to be given to hospitality, we must do so by recognizing that we are but stewards of God. In other words, we must remember that our gifts, our talents, our time, our money, and all that we have is not ours, first of all, but is bestowed on us by God. A steward is one who looks after the property of another. So also we are stewards of God. What we have belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bought us with his own precious blood. We must not sit on our talents. We must multiply them. We must not either use them for our own comfort and pleasure, but we must minister them for the needs of God's people. Surely, one good way of exercising hospitality towards each other is by ministering cheerfully and sacrificially to the needs of God's people. Now, as we conclude today's message on the calling to exercise mutual hospitality, I want you to know that next week we will conclude this part of our series by looking at, of all things, the judgment day. For our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that in that day there will be the separation of the sheep and the goats. I'm referring to the passage of Scripture in Matthew 25. So that will help us understand that this not only is of vital importance, but the motive out of which we perform hospitality is very important. There, of course, we will learn next time that we must do it as unto Christ, because Christ will tell us that when we show mercy and compassion to the least of his brethren, we did it unto him. Today, in the Word of God that we consider in 1 Peter 4, we are also shown the motive. We are told in verse 11 that The motive must be this, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Practicing hospitality must have, as with everything else, this motive, the glory of God. It is indeed subservient to that glory of God, even the edification of the saints. Ultimately, you know, while I must do all things for the good of the body of Christ and for the good of the saints, I must have the eye to the honor and the praise and the glory of God. Is God glorified? Am I loving my neighbor out of the love of God? Is this to the praise and glory of God? God is glorified, always. He is glorified in creation, right? Look round about you. Even though men might want to take away from that, the truth is, as the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament is His handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. God is glorified also in the church of Jesus Christ, where we are recreated and we are washed in His precious blood and made saints. And we glorify God even as we shine for Him as a lighted city on the hilltop. But always, let us not forget, God is glorified, whether in creation or whether in the church or whether in our personal lives, as the text tells us, through Jesus Christ, that all things may be done to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. After all, it is the ascended Lord Jesus who by His Spirit pours out those gifts to us. We have no gifts except the Lord Jesus Christ gives us those gifts, Ephesians chapter 4. And not only to those office bearers, apostles, pastors, and teachers, but all in the body of Christ are given those gifts so that they might minister one to another. Jesus Christ it is who gathers, defends, and preserves His church. And He does so by the lively stones in that body, the members of the church of Jesus Christ under the preaching of the word, who hear the call to praise and glorify God and minister one to another, to whom the text tells us, be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is not only a statement of fact, it is that, but I believe it is a prayer, a desire, a motive. It's a doxology, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, by our mutual hospitality, we desire that God may be glorified. Ever thought of it that way, dear friend? That when you show hospitality and when you receive hospitality and when there is the exercise of mutual hospitality, that all of us should have this motive in our hearts that indeed God may be glorified because He is the one who deserves all praise and dominion forever and ever. May God indeed be glorified through that glorious calling of mutual hospitality in the Church of Jesus Christ. May God by His Spirit apply this word of Christian hospitality to our hearts by His Spirit, so that the love of Christ is evidently manifest by the use of Christian hospitality one to another, and that without grudging. Amen. Our God and Father, Thou hast shed abroad Thy love in our hearts. Grant that in Thy house we may now also, as brothers and sisters in the family of God, walk in that love one for another. And thus may Thy name be glorified, and may we manifest that we are indeed the children of our Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.